It was beginning to be evening in Jerusalem. The city was filled with people who had come to celebrate Passover, including Jesus and his disciples. They had come into the city to be a part of the Passover celebration right there around the temple. The disciples believed they were there to remember when God used Moses to redeem his people from bondage. Only Jesus knew he had come to redeem the world, to give his life as a ransom for many. The disciples were thinking about roasted lamb and bitter herbs and unleavened bread. Jesus was thinking about his body and his blood, soon to be shed for the remission of sins. And as they sat together around the table in the upper room, not only did they share in the Lord's Supper together, but it was an evening when Jesus did some very deep teaching with his disciples. I want you to think about what was on Jesus' heart during that time as he taught those disciples. He knew, this is our last evening together. Everything that I say tonight is going to be the last opportunity I have to teach these men who have been such a part of my life for the last 3 years. I have poured my life into them. They've been there when the miracles took place. They've heard the teachings on the hillsides. They've been there when they've watched me go in and heal those and even raise people from the dead. They've seen it all. And they're going to be the witnesses to me for years yet to come and establish the church that's going to carry my name for the rest of the life of this world. What do I want to say to these men? You can imagine that meant the things he shared that night must have been the most important things that he wanted them to remember for years to come. And so he began to teach, began to talk to them about the things he wanted them to remember the most. What he said is recorded. It's found in John 13 through 17. Today we call that the Upper Room Discourse. It's the conversation that took place between Jesus and his disciples when it was only he and the 12. And then halfway through the evening, he and 11, as Judas slipped out in the darkness to betray him. He began to pour it all out, and the Holy Spirit seared every word into John's mind, because John alone of all the Gospels recorded what happened in that upper room. And in the middle of it all, there's John 15. Jesus reached onto the table, picked up a cluster of grapes, and said to them, "I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser." And for the rest of that chapter, in the most personal terms, Jesus described what it means to live your life in the vine that is the Lord Jesus Christ. How spiritual growth and transformation takes place in a person's life. Jesus wanted them to know, this is what I do for you. John 15 is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. I can go back to it time and time and yet time again, and it always teaches more richly and more powerfully than it has before. And so between now and the Easter season, I want us to spend time in the upper room with Jesus and his disciples as he teaches us what it means to belong to him. Starting with that very first statement, I am the true vine. Because you know, it always starts with Jesus. Spiritual growth is planted in an understanding that it always begins with Jesus. He told the disciples, "I am the vine and you are the branches." As he spoke, the men remembered the vineyards they had passed as they made their way into the city. All of the disciples were familiar with the sight of a vineyard. Most of them at some time or another had spent time cultivating a vine, whether it was a vine behind their home or as part of a larger vineyard that they were workers in. They all knew about the ways of the vineyard. The disciples all knew the basic truth of the vineyard. Everything begins with the vine. It's pretty simple, actually. Without the vine, no branches. Without the branches, no fruit. Without the fruit, no vineyard. Everything begins with the vine. When it comes to spiritual things, everything begins with Jesus. He is the vine, the one and only true source. Jesus said, when he said, "I am the true vine," what he was saying was, it all begins with me. I am the source. Jesus is the source of life itself. John 1:3 says this about Christ: "All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made." Think about that second phrase for just a moment. Without him, nothing was made that was made. And what did Jesus mean when he used that term, nothing? You know what he meant? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Not one thing was made without him. What does that mean? That means you owe your very existence to the Lord. Sometimes we are tempted to think, you know, when it comes to the Lord and myself, what really matters is the spiritual stuff, the things that take place in church, whether I was at Sunday school or worship or whether I've read my Bible or the spiritual stuff, that all comes from Jesus. But that's not at all what the Bible says. The Bible says, without him, not anything was made that was made. What does that mean? That means everything around you, everything you touch, everything you see, everything you hear, everything you taste is covered with the fingerprints of Jesus. He made it all. Kristen did a great job for us a while ago. He made it all. He made that majestic mountain, and he made an unborn child. And it's all covered with his fingerprints. He created the vast universe around you. And he designed the intricate cellular functions within you. There is nothing outside of his creative hand. Nothing. Theology tells us that God created the world ex nihilo. Aren't you glad that you learned that term? It's good to come to church today, isn't it? Ex nihilo. You know what it means? Out of nothing. It means when God created things, he didn't take what was already there and rearrange it. He made it out of nothing. And everything that has existed since that moment is covered with the creative hand of God. Incredible. Anybody who believes they can live very well without trusting Jesus doesn't understand. He is the source. The next breath you breathe, the next beat of your heart, the next moment of your life, God created that. What does the Bible say? Before I was yet born, you knew every day that my life would exist. Jesus reminded them he was the source of life, but he's the source of more than that. The Bible also tells us this, and Jesus is the source of eternal life. He is the only way to be right with God. He is the only one who can forgive sins. He is the only one who can make you live forever. He is the only one who can forgive you. One of the things that we recognize is everything we are is because of who Jesus is. Listen to this incredible promise from Psalm 103. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. What's the Bible saying? We have the potential for everlasting life, not because we're good people, not because we deserve it, but because God has removed those things that prevent us from knowing him for all of eternity. The forgiveness of sin leads to everlasting life. And in the upper room, Jesus was preparing to become that perfect sacrifice to offer the forgiveness of sin. One of the things that we have to be very careful about when we think about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is that we begin to focus on the physical suffering that Jesus endured on the cross. He did endure vast, tremendous physical suffering, but guess what? So did everybody else who had ever been crucified. The real suffering of the cross was that he took the sin of mankind upon himself, the sin of all of us. More than that, the sin of each of us. And he carried it to the cross. And he died that you might be forgiven. The cross of Christ was God's one and only plan to save. The Bible says it plainly. He who has the Son has life. Who has not the Son of God has not life. How could it be that Jesus is the only source of eternal life? Well, the answer is simply this. The vine is God's symbol of reconciliation. It's God's symbol of, this is how I'm going to bring you back to me. When Jesus said, I am the vine, that's not the first time the vine had been used as a divine symbol. The Old Testament is full of scriptures that constantly use the image of the vine as a symbol of the life that comes from God into his people. The vine was used as a reference to Israel, as God's chosen people. The symbol of the vine was used to describe Holy Scripture. In other words, the vine was the thing that people depended on to make their lives right with God. It had always been that way, and now Jesus had come to bring it full circle, because in the upper room, Jesus made it personal. He said, I am the true vine. I am the one and only true vine. If you're looking for the vine, it is me and no one else. I don't tell about the vine. I don't point toward the vine. I don't represent the vine. I am the vine. I am your one and only hope for becoming right with God. What Jesus said in that upper room is simply this. If you are depending upon any other source to give you hope and direction and assurance, you're wasting your time. It cannot be found. Jesus wanted his disciples to understand he was the one who had come to reconcile people with God, that he has the power and the desire to bring people back into a personal relationship with God. You see, it all begins with Jesus. Because becoming a branch of the vine means depending upon Jesus alone. One of the qualities of the vine is that it strengthens and it nourishes every branch that is connected to it. If you're a branch of the vine, that means everything you need is coming from the vine itself. It is the source of everything you need. It strengthens and it nourishes every branch. It draws water and nutrients through its roots. It passes them on to every branch so that in return they can flourish and they can be fruitful. And branches thrive as long as they draw life from the vine. But if the branch ever finds itself separated from the vine, that's the end of it. Driving to work this morning, driving to church this morning. Work, church, it's all the same to me. I was driving in and passed by one of my neighbor's houses, and they had been pruning their crepe myrtles and had all of the branches laying on the side of the street for someone to come and pick them up. And you know what was true of all of those crepe myrtle branches I saw? They dried up. They had withered. Why? Because they had been separated from the trunk, from the vine, the source of their life. And Jesus was saying the same thing. If you ever allow yourself to become a branch that is separated from the vine, then you have no hope. You're just going to dry up. That's the way it always works. Everything God provides flows from your dependence upon Jesus. Relying on Him becomes second nature as you draw your life and your strength from Him, and you realize everything I really need comes from Jesus. It becomes instinctive to seek his leadership and His guidance and His blessing and His power. And one of the signs of real spiritual maturity is a growing dependence upon Christ and not a growing independence from Him. You have to remain connected to the vine. I think I've told you before, but if I haven't, I will never forget a Sunday night after church when one of my older members came to me a couple of churches back and said, "I just want you to know you won't be seeing me anymore on Sunday nights." And I said, "Well, why is that?" And they said, "Just no offense, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I just want you to know this. Sunday nights are all about discipleship, and I've learned everything I'll ever need to know about discipleship. I've been doing this a long time." Doesn't work that way, does it? It continues to be a source of need to grow in a connection and a discipleship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You keep on needing to be connected to Him. Here's the thing we need to remember. The Lord has never designed you to be a reservoir where you can be filled up with His empowerment, filled up with His presence, filled up with His guidance, and then you just kind of let it trickle away until you need a little more, and then you get back to Jesus. If you're a branch of the vine, that means you need to be constantly and consistently fed because you have a dependence upon Him. He doesn't come into you and wait till you trickle it out. He flows through you and bears fruit. Instead of believing you have power in reserve, you depend upon His constant faithfulness in your life. You see, it always begins with Jesus. Then the Bible tells us that strength and stability are found in the true vine. It provides that strong foundation that allows branches to thrive. The branches rely upon the strength of the vine. And every branch is anchored in what the vine can provide. Apart from the true vine, branches could not withstand storms or drought or hardship. And make no mistake, all of those things are coming. I had a member one time who had been through some real struggles in her life, and she and her family had endured some real challenges. And she came up to me after church one Sunday. She said, "I just want you to know that the next time you tell us in church there are only three kinds of people in the world, I'm going to punch you in the nose." You see, I told her the truth. And the truth is this: there are three kinds of people in this world. There are people who have gone through hardship, people who are going through hardship, and people who are going to go through hardship. And those are the only kinds of people there are in this world. The question is not, will you experience hardship in your life? The question is, where are you going to turn when you're hurting? Where are you going to turn when you feel overwhelmed? Where are you going to turn when you know you're not sufficient for the things that are in front of you? And the answer is, you turn to the vine. You find your strength in Him. Living in a dependent relationship with Jesus is about exchanging His strength for your weakness. Because guess what? You're not strong enough to make it by yourself. I don't care how big you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care whether you're older or younger or in between. You cannot make it by yourself. You need the Lord. Sometimes I hear people describe Christian faith and they say it is a crutch. It is a crutch for weak minds and broken people. The truth is, those who choose to live without Christ have sacrificed the power that can only come from a vital connection with Him. If you choose not to depend upon Him, what you've done is you cut yourself off. It's not that somebody else cut you off from the Lord. You made that choice yourself. And when you did, you stripped yourself of the potential for fruitfulness. It cannot happen apart from Jesus. And those who choose to live without Christ find themselves tempted to move from one thing to another, trying to find something with lasting power. Here's the thing we need to remember. As a believer, you know you can count on Jesus. You can depend upon Him whatever may come. He will tell you the truth. He will forgive your guilt. He will offer you hope. He will provide you strength. He will empower you to endure. I've walked with the Lord for a long time now. And over the years, I've been through my share of storms and obstacles and struggles and fears. Through it all, I've discovered something that we all need to remember. He is faithful. He is absolutely faithful. He's faithful when it's easy. He's faithful when it's really, really hard. He's faithful when you don't know what you can do next. He's faithful when you're tempted to give up. Through it all, you can depend upon the strength of the vine. He is faithful. It always begins with Jesus. Then John tells us this, and Jesus is the one and only true vine. Acts 4:12 states it clearly. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. No other name by which we must be saved. Why is that true? Because only Jesus forgives sin. Because only Jesus can offer eternal life. Because only Jesus became the perfect sacrifice. Because only Jesus died and rose again. Because only Jesus can save. There is only one name. There is only one true vine. There is nowhere else to turn in all of creation that can offer you salvation. How can I declare Christ alone so confidently? Because I'm not the one who said it. He is. On that same evening that Jesus told His disciples He was the true vine, He also told them this. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Me. I'm it. Nowhere else to turn. You want hope, you want salvation, you want eternity, you want forgiveness, you want mercy, you want strength. I'm it. And I'm the only one who is it. The true vine dared to say He was the only way to God. Not one of the ways, not even the best way. The only way. And if you don't believe that, your argument is not with me. It is with Jesus of Nazareth, who said, I am the way. It always begins with Jesus. I am the true vine. And the question you have to ask yourself this morning is simply this: have I planted my life and my faith and my hope in the one true vine? Because that's where it all begins. Over the next few weeks, as we continue to look at what it means for Jesus to say, I am the true vine, for Jesus to say, my Father is the vine dresser, for Jesus to say, abide in me, for Jesus to say, find your hope in me, all of those are built upon a single confession, and that confession is, Jesus Christ is the way. And that's where it all begins. It all begins with Jesus. And it all begins with Jesus in your life. If you're here and you're not a believer this morning, it all begins with that confession of faith. Jesus Christ, Son of God, I trust you. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And I recognize I have a personal decision to make. And my personal decision is, will I trust Jesus as my Savior? And if you're here and you've never done that, today's the day. In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation hymn. And if you don't know Jesus, I'm going to be right here. You can come to me and say, today's the day. I want to trust Jesus as my Savior. If you don't come down this aisle, you look for me, you look for a member of our staff, and you say, I want to become a Christian. I want to do it before I leave today. Maybe God's telling you something else. Maybe you've made that commitment and you know it all begins with Jesus and you know He's the vine. But you're also recognizing, I need a place where I can grow. I need a place where I'm going to hear the Word, where I can follow Jesus, where I can find fellowship, where I can be discipled. And I think God is leading me to First Baptist Church to plant my membership in this place and to grow in Christ right here. Maybe you're here today and part of following Jesus means you're hearing a special call in your life, a deeper walk with Him, a new commitment, a chance to come back and say, you know what, it's time for me to start depending on Him again. I've been depending on myself for too long. I wonder, is there a decision you need to make? We're going to stand and we're going to sing, and as His Holy Spirit deals with your heart, if you need to come, you come. Let's stand again.
Thank you.
Glad we got to share this time together this morning as we begin to walk through what it means to be a branch of the vine. God's going to teach us a lot of things in the weeks to come. And I'm glad we were here as we began. Let me encourage you again, be back tonight at 5 to hear Rich and Susan as they're going to be sharing with us. It's going to be a really rich time together, and I'm looking forward to that. Let's bow together now for a final prayer and then our last song. Father, we do thank you that you're the true vine. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are absolutely faithful. And Father, when we trust in you and we find our identity and we find our hope and we find our assurance in you, we will always find that we are depending upon the one who can always do what only you can do. So Lord Jesus, bless us. Help us to trust you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.